And one of the questions I want to ask you is, have you ever found yourself reading a really familiar part of the Bible? Something that you know so well, you can almost sort of do it off by heart, and then suddenly something falls out that you've not seen before. And you say, wow, how come I've never seen that before? I know that passage so well, and yet something's happened that I've seen this, and I've understood this passage in a whole new way. Or maybe you have found yourself sending a text, or perhaps sending a card, or a phone, or an email, or you made a visit. And you've discovered in hindsight that actually you've made that visit, or that phone call, or that text at exactly the right time, but you couldn't have known that. But yet it's spoken into someone's life at just the right time and in just the right way. Have you ever had that experience? Some of you nodding, yeah. Or you find yourself in a position where you're not sure which direction to take in life. You kind of hit a fork in the road. And as you kind of consider one of the options, you kind of feel really quite unsettled in your stomach. You just think, I'm just not sure. And you consider the other option, and as you consider the other option, there's a sense of peace descends, and you suddenly find yourself thinking, yes, that's the way to go. Or you're going through a time of really difficult illness, or a really difficult situation in your life, and you're really struggling. And suddenly, out of nowhere, you suddenly feel peaceful. And you think, where did that come from? And then you discover in hindsight that actually people have been praying for you. And actually, that is the answer to people's prayers. And we can use lots of words to describe those kinds of experiences, can't we? But I see lots of you nodding as I sort of describe some of those things around the room this morning. But they are some of the things that we experience as the followers of Jesus, are they not? Yeah. Part of what it means to follow Jesus, to know and to hear him speaking into our everyday lives. Paul in Romans 8, as we read a couple of moments ago, kind of helps us to understand what's going on here. He talks about what happens when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. He says, the spirit that you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And then he says this, and by the spirit, by God's spirit living in us, we cry out, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The only way that you and I can actually cry out like that to God and to begin to enjoy that relationship with God is when the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives in us. One of the most incredible things when we come into faith in Jesus Christ is that God's Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. Is that not a wow moment? Yes. Thank you, Paul. God of heaven, living in me, we sometimes sing, and then we go on to the next line, and we lose the wonder of the fact that God of heaven, by his Holy Spirit, lives in us and dwells in us. He is in us. And you know what happens? That's the stuff of new creation. Because of that new relationship, God, by his Spirit, begins to speak into our lives, into our inner spirit, and we begin to hear God communicating with us through his Holy Spirit. It's wow stuff. It's the stuff of new creation. We've been following this series for quite a few weeks now, which we've entitled Flying Closer to the Flame of God's Holy Spirit. We started it way back in June, I think it was. We may have sort of lost our momentum a little bit. We've had some wonderful visits from different people over the last couple of weeks. But that's where we started. A passion to know more of God's Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And I hope you have discovered, as I have in my own life, that the Spirit of God is not confined to the first century. It's not condemned to some sort of bygone era. The Spirit of God dwells in his people today and speaks to us and guides us and helps us to follow Jesus Christ in the here and now, every day, day in and day out. And what I want us to think about for a few minutes this morning as we come to communion is, how do we recognize what we might describe as the inner promptings of the Holy Spirit? Now, I want to say at the very start that I believe that God speaks to us today through our Bibles, through the Bible. That is God's way of speaking to us. That is his ultimate authority. But the Bible also says to us, and I want to show you this morning, that God speaks to us by his Holy Spirit. His Spirit testifies with our spirit. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, a new kind of relationship opens up, and suddenly we find ourselves communicating with the living God. It's amazing stuff. Well, what does that look like? Is that really an experience for everyone who follows Jesus? Or is it just for the select few? I want to show you this morning that's for everyone. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in us. A new way of relating to God has opened up, and it is for all who follow Christ. In what ways might we expect the Holy Spirit to speak to us? I'm going to give you just four snapshots. We could go to hundreds of places in Scripture today to see how the Holy Spirit speaks into the lives of God's people, but I want to take you to just four, because I want to whet your appetite. I hope after this morning you might go away and look for more examples and illustrations of how God has spoken to people by the Holy Spirit. We're going to go to the Old Testament. That's why I said you need your Bible this morning. We're going to go to 1 Kings 19. It's on page 360. We're going to drop in for a few moments on the life of Elisha this morning. Not Elisha, Elijah this morning, who finds himself at rock bottom. And the first thing that I want you to see this morning as we come to this little snapshot is that the Holy Spirit is able to speak into our lives, and we are at the bottom, and we have reached rock bottom. I want to show you through this little snapshot that God's Holy Spirit speaks clearly into our lives, even when we find ourselves in places like Elisha does. Many of you will know this story really well. Here's a man who was acquainted with the presence of God. He saw God do some amazing things. He saw the miraculous up close and personal, as we might say. A drought is pronounced by God. 3.5 years, no rain. And yet Elijah is fed miraculously by God. Then there's that powerful encounter between the prophets of Baal, and the fire of God falls on that altar, which was flooded with water. And then on the heels of lots of other amazing things which God does, you suddenly discover in 1 Kings 19 that actually Elijah's at the back of a cave. And he thinks he's the only prophet that's left. He's hit the bottom. Emotionally, physically, spiritually. He's done, we would say. Look how God responds, verses 11 and 12. And the Lord God said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. We so often expect to see God in the spectacular. But here he is in the whisper. Literally a soft, gentle rustling sound. I can't explain how Elijah sensed the voice of God, or exactly what the Spirit of God said, but clearly he connects deeply with Elijah's life, and somehow in his spirit he hears God speaking words of encouragement. And in verse 13 there's a very powerful little movement where Elijah hears this gentle voice of God, pulls his cloak over his face, and he goes out and he stands at the mouth of the cave. That's a significant movement, my friends. When you're at rock bottom and you're at the back of the cave. And God comes and speaks in a whisper. And Elijah finds himself moved to the front of the cave. Don't miss that movement. And if God can speak like that by his Holy Spirit to Elijah, he can speak like that to us today. In the gentle whisper. In the nudge. Like a gentle breath of wind on a still summer's day. Ever sense God speaking to you like that? Resonates, doesn't it, with Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Maybe one of the reasons that we find it difficult to hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit is that we so rarely make time to be still. When you hear those words in Psalm 46, that's not a gentle sort of encouragement to be still. God is saying, stop! Stop what you're doing! And here the Holy Spirit speaks gently and quietly and so appropriately into the life of Elijah, this man who hits rock bottom. Maybe that's how the Holy Spirit wants to speak to some of us this morning. Gently, quietly, almost a whisper. Be still. tell God how it is. Make sure you take time to listen. And maybe you too will hear the words of hope and encouragement that Elijah goes on to hear in this chapter. It's the first thing I want you to notice this morning. It's one of the ways, one of the many, many ways the Spirit speaks into our lives when we're at rock bottom. Let's look at a second snapshot. Let's go to the New Testament, Acts chapter 20, page 1116. And let me show you a little snapshot of the Apostle Paul's life. As he hears from the Holy Spirit speaking into his life. And here's the second thing I want you to notice this morning, that the Holy Spirit speaks into our lives when we're afraid, when we're not sure what the future holds. Let me read just a couple of verses. So this is a really moving account in Acts chapter 20. What's going on here is that Paul is saying farewell to the Ephesian elders. He has spent long time with these guys, and this is a heartbreaking farewell. Paul would love to have stayed there, and yet God by his Holy Spirit has spoken to the Apostle Paul and says these things to the Apostle Paul, and Paul knows that what is coming next is going to be tough. Verse 22, Acts chapter 20, and now compelled by the Spirit, says Paul, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what's going to happen to me next. Only I know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Pretty tough message to hear, isn't it? In some supernatural way, the Holy Spirit has spoken into the life of the Apostle Paul and saying to Paul, you know what, you're in for trouble. And actually, it's going to get worse. Actually, in every city that you go to, Paul says, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. I don't know about you, but when you sense that trouble is ahead, when you sense that trouble may get worse, what is our natural human inclination is to fear, isn't it? It's to be afraid. But look what happens to the Apostle Paul. He hears from the Spirit of God speaking into his life. Look at the transformation that takes place as he hears from God, even though things are going to be difficult. Look what happens in verse 24. He says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. Only my aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. The Holy Spirit speaks into our lives when we're afraid. But look at the courage and the boldness that he gives to the Apostle Paul. And my friends, I believe that if God can speak to the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit like that, he can speak to us in exactly the same way, whatever fears you and I may be facing today. Hearing from God means that we need to be listening. Flying a little closer to the flame of God's Holy Spirit means that we should expect to hear God speaking to us in the everyday, experiencing the supernatural every day. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He has placed his Spirit in us. Where can I go from your Spirit? As we were reading a little bit earlier. We have a God who speaks to us. Jesus is referred to as the Word. We should expect to hear God speaking to us through the Holy Spirit, especially in those times when we're afraid and we don't know what lies ahead. I found in my own experience, on a number of occasions, that sometimes God will give me a glimpse of what's ahead. And sometimes that's all I need. It gives me the courage and the determination to keep going. Let's look at a third snapshot. A few chapters later, Acts chapter 27, quite like this one because I like sailing. This is all about storms and shipwrecks. Well, I don't mind about shipwrecks, but I quite like sailing in the storm. Here's the third thing I want you to notice this morning, that the Holy Spirit speaks into our lives when we're in danger. Acts chapter 27 is one of the most exciting and adventurous chapters in the Bible. I see some of you enjoy sailing smiling with me this morning here. I love sailing because I love the power of the wind. Sometimes we talk about being at the mercy of the wind and the waves. That's what's going on here in this particular chapter. But it takes it to a whole new dimension. A massive storm has developed. The Apostle Paul is sailing. And those he is with are about to be shipwrecked. And they've lost control of the boat. And they've lost control of the cargo. And humanly speaking, it looks pretty bleak. And everybody is starting to panic. And Paul addresses his shipmates. And he speaks with great reassurance and confidence, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 27, verse 21. He said, you ought to have followed my advice. That's what makes me smile, that bit. If you'd listened to me, you wouldn't be in this trouble in the first place. He says, yet now I urge you to keep up your courage. Now listen to what comes next. For there will be no loss of life, but only of the ship. That's a pretty brave thing to say, isn't it? That's quite a declaration. How could Paul have said that? Kind of courage doesn't come naturally in the middle of a storm. Trust me, I've been there. Last thing you're thinking about when you're in the middle of a storm. But just a few verses later, if you look down to verse 23, you'll see that Paul explains why he has such courage, why he can proclaim this with such boldness. Verse 23, last night an angel of the God whom I belong to and whom I serve stood beside me and said, don't be afraid. He says, God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. Keep your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Bold, courageous declaration. It is reassuring. It is realistic. God wanted them to know that, yes, they would run aground, but yes, no one would perish. And look at verse 44. The very last few words. Everybody reaches land safely. There are times in our lives when God enables us to make such bold declarations by his Holy Spirit. I've walked with a number of you in this church family in recent months. I've seen that boldness. And it doesn't come just because you're feeling a little bit stronger in yourself. It comes precisely from the opposite direction. It comes because the Holy Spirit has reassured you in whatever difficulty that you are facing. And I have heard people saying that they know that no matter what happens, they know God holds them. That is not from ourselves, my friend. That comes from God. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. The Holy Spirit speaks into our lives when we're in danger. The final snapshot I want to give you this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Just turn over a few more pages with me to page 1166. Again, many of you will know this passage. But here's the fourth snapshot that I want to share with you this morning. The Holy Spirit speaks into our lives in times of severe testing. The Apostle Paul has been given what he calls a surpassing revelation of God. He has seen something of God's glory and majesty which has blown him away. So much so that he says, I'm in real danger of becoming conceited by boasting about what I've seen. And look what he says in verse 7 and 8 of 2 Corinthians 12. He says, because of these surpassing great revelations, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Now, we don't know what that was. And maybe it's just as well. Because it enables us to identify with some of the deep, painful things that we go through. But three times, Paul cries out and says, God, I need you to take this out of my life. I cannot cope with this. And God says no. Verse 9. He says no. Through the Holy Spirit, another prompting. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Now, if the Holy Spirit can speak into that situation, my friends, he can speak into our life. We hate the idea of weakness. We somehow or other think that we're a failure if we show any kind of weakness, that we have to show the stiff upper lip, that we have to show, yes, we can get through this, yes, we've got the strength, yes, we've got the determination. But here the Holy Spirit speaks into Paul's life and says, actually, the answer from God is no. But God's grace is sufficient for you. And I can testify from my own life that these are often the times when God does his deepest work in us through the ministry of his Holy Spirit, when he uses our brokenness to minister into the lives of people around us. When God displays his power, when we come to the end of our resources, when we have nothing left. My friends, these are just snapshots of how the Holy Spirit could speak into our lives. There are hundreds and hundreds of other snapshots that we could look at. But I want to whet your appetite. I want to show you that God can speak and does speak into our everyday lives. What I like to sometimes refer to as the everyday supernatural. Peter stood up, didn't he, on the day of Pentecost. People said, and what are we going to do to be saved? And Peter said, you need to repent. You need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you. And for all who will believe. And everyone who's sitting here this morning. Let me make some practical suggestions as we pull this together this morning. Firstly, let's recognise, shall we, that God speaks to every one of us. God doesn't choose to speak to the select few. When you became a follower of Jesus Christ, he placed his Spirit in you. His Spirit testifies with our spirit. When you pick up your Bible, expect to hear God speaking to you. When you're walking and praying with God, expect him to speak to you. We know, don't we, instinctively, that every healthy relationship involves two-way conversations. How many of us here this morning would say to our friends, I want to meet you for coffee this week, and then you would speak at them for 1 hour non-stop, and then you would walk away? Friendship's not going to work like that, is it? At some point in that conversation, if it's a true friendship, you're going to say, oh, tell me. I want to hear from you. Same is true of our relationship with God. He's the God who speaks. He's the God who places his Spirit in us. Who speaks into our inner being. We've seen this morning from just a few snapshots in the lives of Elijah and Paul that God speaks into our everyday lives. When we are at rock bottom. When we are afraid. When we are in danger. When we are in pain. I love the words of Jesus in John 15 as he gathers his disciples around them, as he promises the Holy Spirit. He says to his disciples, you're my friends. And everything that the Father has revealed to me, I'm going to reveal to you. We need to recognize that God speaks to every one of the followers of Jesus. Here's the second thing that we need to understand this morning. We need to make room in our lives to listen to God. You know, some of the greatest lessons we get are from children, aren't they? Some of you know the story of Samuel, just a small child. Here's the voice of God speaking in the night. What does he say? Speak, Lord. And his servant's listening. It's worth coming back to the words of Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Our lives are so busy, so frenetic. Sometimes I think that we're connected to our mobile devices like some kind of umbilical cord. And we wonder why we don't hear God speaking into our lives. There seems to be so little space in our lives today. Listening to God doesn't happen by itself. We need to build stillness into our lives. Find that space where you can hear what God is saying to you. Find that space in the day where you connect with God's Word. There are so many helpful ways that we can get into God's Word. Lots of us are using Bible in a year. It's a fabulous way. It comes to you on your mobile device. If you're connected like an umbilical cord, it's going to come to you. But find the time. Start to journal, start to jot down some of the things that you sense God is saying to you. Amazing to look back and see what God has said to you in the past. It's what keeps that relationship alive. Find something that works for you. Even if it's first thing this morning or last thing at night, but protect that connection with God. Otherwise you will not hear what he wants to say to you. And two, finally, very practical pieces of advice. When you are not sure if something is from the Spirit of God, tread lightly. Tread softly. Check it out with God's Word. Because if God is saying something to you that's not reflected in God's Word, then it's probably not of God. Check it out with people that you journey with spiritually. That's often a good thing to do. And from my experience, you'll often find that people often confirm what you sense God is saying to you, even though they don't know the conversations that you've been having with God. How God sometimes works. But if you're not sure, tread lightly. The opposite is also true. we hear God speaking into our lives, and we're confident that that is of the Spirit's prompting. Walk by faith. Stand firm. Stand resolute. It moved Elijah from the back of the cave to the front of the cave. It inspired Paul to carry on with the work of the gospel. It encouraged him to declare God's truth over a bunch of frightened sailors. It brought him grace and the ability to endure when God said no. But let me conclude with some words from Jesus as we come to communion this morning. I love how Jesus puts it. He said, "My sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. And I know them. They follow me." It seems to me that all we need to be is sheep. That puts the bar quite low, really, doesn't it? But it's a lovely analogy. Because don't miss the fact that in the Middle East, that when a shepherd spoke, sheep actually are able to recognize the voice of their shepherd. And they follow their shepherd. May we do the same. Let's pray together.